The Tudor History and Travel Show is a podcast that brings Tudor history to life by exploring Tudor places and artifacts in the flesh. You will be travelling through time with Sarah Morris, the Tudor Travel Guide, uncovering the stories behind some of the most amazing Tudor locations and objects in the UK. Because when you visit a Tudor building, it is only time and not space which separates you from the past. And now over to your host, Sarah Morris.
Hello, my time-travelling friends. It's Sarah, the Tudor Travel Guide, back to bring you another little slice of Tudor history to wherever you are in the world. Well, it's August, and that is traditionally a time where I try and take a little bit of a step back from the Tudor Travel Guide and rest and replenish ahead of the autumn season, when there is going to be a lot of new things that I will be working on as ever. And it's been a busy old year. To think back, of course, we've had the summit, which was wrapped around the Tudor history of coronation. And then, of course, the launch of my new membership, The Ultimate Guide to Exploring Tudor England. And I've been putting a lot of time and effort into building that content library. And more recently, of course, I've just come back from my travels to Madrid to explore Renaissance Madrid. It was my first ever collaboration here at the Tudor Travel Guide, which was very exciting. But most importantly, it really got me curious to learn more about 16th century Spanish royal history, particularly the lives and times, of course, of Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, who was forever in that menage a trois with Henry VIII and Francis I. And then later, of course, his son, Philip II of Spain, husband of course, Mary Tudor at one point. It was just wonderful. As ever, I got the same kick and the excitement and thrill to go and stand in some of the places that they would have known, particularly that fabulous Renaissance palace, El Escorial, which is the largest Renaissance palace in the world, built by Philip II, and in so many ways, just largely untouched. It's a real time capsule. And of course, to see some of the objects that they would have known and that were intimately, personally associated with these two kings, such as the magnificent armoury, which contained tens, if not hundreds of pieces of armour and horse trapping and saddles belonging to each of these two monarchs. And then, of course, there is the Gallery of the Royal Collection, which has just opened this summer, just opposite the Royal Palace in the centre of Madrid. The Royal Collection is absolutely vast, as you might imagine. It contains thousands of objects, and around 600 or 700 of those are currently on display in this fabulous, slick, minimalist gallery. And I had a wonderful time exploring particularly the part of the gallery related to the 15th and 16th centuries and seeing some of the very personal objects relating to both Catherine of Aragon's parents, Ferdinand and Isabella, and also, of course, to Charles V and Philip II. So anyway, I have been posting some of the video content and the photographic content that I took while in Madrid in my Instagram, and it gives me a chance actually to give my Instagram a little bit of a shout out, which I haven't done for a while. If you're not on Instagram, but you fancy keeping up with the Tudor Travel Guide's travels and adventures, then Instagram is the best place to be. And you can find me at just simply the Tudor Travel Guide. Okay, well, with that done, I think it is time to turn our attention to today's podcast. And we are heading off into rural Suffolk to visit a building which, as I say in my introduction, I've known for a few years now. And as our guide tells us, is one of international significance and importance. Well, you'll hear all about that in the podcast, along with some spooky ghost stories. So if you love your ghost stories, this one may well be for you. I must admit, it gave me a few chills when I was there on site as our guide was telling me about the ghosts that roam the corridors of Otley Hall. Well, welcome, dear listeners. I find myself deep in rural Suffolk at a house I was first introduced to quite a few years ago, certainly pre-lockdown. I came to an invitation to view to see Otley Hall, which is such a special Tudor house. Perhaps you would never realise how important its history is, particularly to those of you who are tuning in from the US. And I can't wait to bring you that story. Now, of course, as ever, I have a guide for today, a very special guide. May I introduce Louisa? Hello, Louisa.
Hello. Hi. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well. I must admit, it's slightly disappointing, isn't it? Because we're mid-May and we've got thunderstorms.
Oh,
and
yes.
We've got
so rain. Atmospheric in here right now. Isn't it amazing?
And we are talking right at the moment in what was once the great hall of this Tudor house. And I'm going to ask you about the house and its history
Sure. And
the stories in mm-hmm. a moment.
Absolutely.
But first, I'm sure our listeners would love mm-hmm. to find out who you are and what's your relationship to Otley.
That's a very big question. Basically, in 2020, my ex-husband now. We moved in here as a family. We were originally going to do up a very old building about sort of 40 minutes away, but we decided to go for this instead. And it's been a real journey. the Otley Hall is the most beautiful building. It is very magical. It has a real sense of ambience and history. And it's an important building as well. It's not just as a family home, but it really is a very important, internationally important house. Would you like me to tell you a little bit more?
Well, I would. Now, you were just saying to me before we started the recording that you have a background. You've been at Christie's. You love your history, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fascinated with history. I particularly like furniture and architecture. So for me, coming here was a real dream come true. As a little girl, I love buildings like this, and I still do. We spend most weekends looking for ruins and...
that sounds like my childhood.
It's not for everyone, but it is for us, and my children get dragged around quite often to stuff. So, so we moved here, and it has been in private ownership for a very, very long time. And we knew about the history of the building, and we really wanted to share that because, you know, it has such an important history. It hasn't got landed gentry, but they are related to royalty, I think Edward III. But the Gosnolds were incredibly ambitious, exciting. It's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Intrepid.
Yes,
lovely. So, I mean, I totally applaud you. It's so wonderful. And I've been watching you on Instagram sort of take hold of Otley Hall and start to do things with it. And I can see your hand at play in bringing this and opening it up to
trying
more and
to
more
make
people.
It alive and accessible, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots and lots of buildings like this that are hidden away and you can't get in to see them. And it's so frustrating.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Okay, so let's, now we know a little bit about you. I would love to just orientate us so that people who are not familiar mm-hmm. with UK geography know exactly where we are. So
yes.
Can you tell us where we are in England?
Back end of nowhere. No, we are very sort of rural, middle of Suffolk, I would say. It's probably the best dynamic of this. Suffolk, in the period that this building was built, was incredibly important and wealthy. Places like Lavenham, Long Melford, all had a massive sort of background in wool, and most of the churches are huge as well. So it kind of gives you an idea of the amount of money that was coming out of Suffolk.
Yeah.
The Gosnells were particularly lawyers, and they were very sort of high up in the hierarchy in terms of Tudor establishment.
Okay.
So they knew very big key figures, such as the Earl of Essex, Cardinal Wolsey. Everybody knew everyone.
I can imagine. So we're about how far out of London? About an hour and a half?
An hour and a half, I would say.
Sort of northeast of London.
That's right.
In what was East Anglia area.
That's so, right,
So I think hopefully that will give people who, as I say, are not so familiar with UK geography a little idea of where we are. And it really is in the middle of nowhere. Because
even in today's terms, yes.
You come down a beautiful tree-lined little quiet lane and then you're hidden. It's almost like an enclave surrounded by beautiful mature trees.
I'm sure it's busier now I've opened this place up as opposed to probably what it was 10 years ago. But you know what? It's important that this building is financially secure in itself.
Of course.
At the end of the day, having a building like this, you know, it's an absolute pleasure and a dream. But you are custodians and it will carry on way beyond our lifetime. If we can make this work as a business as well, as a home, then it means that it has got security, which is important.
So I would just say to those folk who are listening, there will be, as ever, be a show notes page associated with this podcast. So we'll be taking some pictures. So do make sure that you check out the link associated in the description associated with this podcast. That will take you over to the show notes page and perhaps you can look at some of the images as Louisa and I are going around and telling the story of the Tudor Gosnells.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody comes up to the house, what are they actually going to see in front of them?
So the way that the map is right now, the front of the house was really the back. The front door was originally a spiral staircase going upstairs and things were changed slightly in the 1920s. I think Pevsner, in his architectural book, really did say that this is still one of the most intact manorial homes in Suffolk, if not in the UK. So things haven't really changed very much. The fundamentals are still very much here. The front of the house is the back. And when you're sort of looking out in what is now our rose garden, that would have been the front of the house.
Right.
So, yeah, you would have come and accessed the property in a completely different way.
Three ranges around a central courtyard.
That's right, yeah. So almost the Elizabethan E.
Yes.
But not quite
in this case.
Or a C.
And you mentioned the entrance had the King's Road going. So that would have been, what, to Ipswich? Or where was the nearest?
So that would have taken you through Otley. But that was a main road coming into the hall. There used to be more of a moat than there is now, but the Gosnells were massively fined for being royalists during the Civil War. And that is effectively how the Gosnells lost their property because of status and everything. And the fines took it away from them.
So we'll probably come back and just round up that story at some point. So it's what, part timber frame, part stone?
Part timber, part brick. That's right. And yeah, it's a very traditional Tudor.
And built when?
So we've had foundations here since the 12th century. It was known as Netherhall. So there has been something here since medieval times. This part of the building that we're in now, which is the Great Hall and the Linenfold Parlour, would have been 15th century. And then the other wing that you can kind of see out of the window is 16th.
Right, okay, so we are right plumb in the time period that we all salivate over.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I remember first walking into this particular room and going, wow, 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 because it's a mini Great Hall.
Amazing at Christmas, I can tell you, Sarah.
I can imagine it is. And you've got this beautiful, I may not get the correct terminology, but it's a rich patterned sort of oak covering the walls, the panelling, the great beams in the ceiling. And what I really love is you've still got the outline of the screens passage, which is amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, obviously you can see the gaps in between the timbers, but effectively this is how it would have looked 500 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
I can totally see why you're saying Christmas time. It must be lovely when you've got...
It's cold, but it's very atmospheric.
I was just going to have to say, with the fire roaring in the grate,
it would be lovely. And several layers, yes.
Okay.
but yes, it's an amazing ceiling and all of the cornices have the most amazing symbolism carved into them. You've got roses and various bits that really sort of sing of Tudor times, basically.
Yeah, and you can see these great big cross beams that support the roof have been here from the beginning. They just are spectacular.
And if you look at them, they're still as solid now as they were then, I'm sure.
They really are.
They really are.
So great things happened in this room. You mentioned this house has international significance, and so it does. And we've been hinting at that. And you've mentioned the name of the family, the Gosnells.
Yes.
So maybe that's where we should go next.
Maybe you could tell
us a little bit about the Gosnells. You said they were lawyers. Yeah. What else do we know about them?
So the Gosnells had a particular intrepid adventurer or explorer in their midst. He clearly didn't like being stuck at a desk. I can understand that, actually. He was very interested in law. I believe he went to Cambridge. And he was very interested in travel and exploring, particularly the New World. And a group of them decided that they would like to go and explore on the Godspeed, which was his ship.
He owned the ship.
I believe there was a contingency of like-minded fellows.
Like a cartel of fellows.
Yes, yes. And I think they did know Walter Riley. So there was a real contingency at that point of people that wanted to see what there was out there.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, new age.
So what years are we talking about here when this intrepid fellow started making his plans?
So we're looking really the late 1500s. You're almost kind of on the cusp of Elizabeth I passing away after a very long reign and then moving into James I.
Right, OK. So was he head of the family here, or was he one of the sort of, brothers?
There were various houses in this area. The estate is much smaller than it was then. It's been broken up in recent years, probably 300 years ago, but there were various Gosnells in this area, and they seem to have spread far and wide.
I bet they did.
they planned the whole trip, or that's the story, that they planned that trip in this room.
In this very room. So what dates are we talking about here, Louisa?
So the expedition was very much in the early 1600s, 1602. And the plan was to do, what you'd have now class as the kind of Boston area, Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod. And it's a fascinating, fascinating story. Martha's Vineyard is actually named after Bartholomew Gosnell's child, little girl that passed away here when she was three. And hence why our cafe outside is now called Martha's Barn.
Oh, how sweet. That's such a lovely story.
It's an amazing thing because as a family, we spent a lot of time in Boston. I've lived in Boston as well prior to living here. So it's, wow.
You've got some incredible ties. This place, this place has been calling you in, hasn't
Apparently
it?
Apparently so. But
I think what is really interesting is this voyage that founded Jamestown, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not an expert on this part of Tudor/Jacobean history because I have to confess that I am a Tudor lover.
Yes, I know.
And as soon as you get into the Jacobean period, my interest suddenly starts to wane. However, I do think it's interesting that the voyage that you've just been telling us about predated the whole Mayflower thing, right?
Which is not widely known at all, is it?
No.
So that's why, I'm here talking to you, because I think this is such an important fact. We are all given this sort of Bible of history, aren't we? And you can look at so many books and this is just not even mentioned. And I'd say that probably the vast majority of English folk or anyone from Europe or the US would probably not know how important this building is, because these guys really were the first to really make a permanent settlement in America.
So they're the founding fathers?
Absolutely.
Okay, right.
The worst secret now ever.
I feel we might be about to change the course of US history.
No, that's cool. It's fine.
Although maybe not. But however, facts remain facts, don't they? That this voyage did occur, and
it
did predate the Mayflower, and they did found Jamestown.
Yes.
So do we know how long Bartholomew Gosnold was in Jamestown?
I think it was quite short-lived, actually. He caught typhoid very early into the trip and didn't make it back to Suffolk.
Oh.
Sadly.
Goodness me.
What a flag to put there for his family. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, talk about burning brightly, you know.
Yeah.
A star hurtling across the skies.
Yeah.
No quiet, incredible. Rural gentry life in the backwater of Suffolk.
What makes one decide to go off and do that? Wouldn't it be amazing to kind of find that out?
And I mean, you know, at least now when we travel, by and large, most of us know what we're going to, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had a clue, would they? What waited for them?
Not at all, yeah.
How are they going to survive?
Well, they found American Indians there. I believe that somebody in the team married Pocahontas and brought her back. So this was that same expedition. And they brought her back to Kent, where she passed away. So it's an incredibly important trip. And if you don't know about it, I thoroughly recommend you read about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try and find some good links again and include them in the description that people can follow up if they're listening. So, Louisa, there was a second trip. I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. And we'll try and dig out some information, maybe append that to the description, or maybe just people want to go and investigate, be their own intrepid explorer and go and investigate a little bit more about that.
I definitely recommend that.
Yeah.
It's quite a thing to read.
Yeah. Well, what about the family? What happened to them after this period?
Well, they did very well, I think, for quite a long time as barristers and lawyers. And really the dynasty sort of ended during the Civil War. One of the Gosnolds that lived here at that point was very behind the king, which probably makes sense because, you know, of all the history of the family and probably being very proud of themselves in the UK, they were very much royalist, which is quite unusual for East Anglia, really, given that Cromwell was from the Cambridge area.
Of course. Right, OK. So they must have felt quite threatened by that.
Very much.
And we'll come back.
Yeah.
I think there's a little architectural feature that you're going to show us as we explore the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been talking mostly, as I have said, from kind of the main sitting area, which was the Great Hall area.
Yes.
And we have the low end with the screens.
Yeah.
And we'll have some pictures in the show notes to show that off. And then at the high end, as I would expect, there's a doorway that leads through into another room. And now I happen to know that this has a very special architectural feature in it. Do you want to tell us all about it?
So the Gosnolds had a relationship or knew Cardinal Wolsey relatively well. He would have been very, very elderly when this was injected into here. The panelling is supposed to have come from Hampton Court, and Cardinal Wolsey was wanting to put it into his grammar school that he was going to create in Ipswich, which never quite happened. Mm. I think he died before that could actually happen.
Yeah.
In a very territorial way, the Gosnells had the panelling here and made good use of it.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing to think. I know this is a story and we don't have any evidence that this is the case.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes myths and legends can build up. We don't know, but it's certainly
been dated to the right period.
It's the right,
absolutely. And the quality of the carving and the symbolism on it is so incredibly rare and beautifully done. It's hard not to argue with it, really.
It is beautiful. And having been to Hampton Court Palace and seen some of the Wolsey closet, the panelling in the Wolsey closet, you know, it's of the same sort of beautiful quality. You mentioned sort of the symbolism in it. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
I don't really know too much about it, but there are some various bits and pieces in here, scientific instruments, scrolls, pencils, but it's a real hunting game. So you have to go around each single panel.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
And because it's quite dark in here, it's difficult to sort of to sometimes pick it out in this light.
Yeah.
But for each of those implements, it's very much you know, a sign of the Tudor times, really. Science was a very big thing.
Yeah.
So having that sort of put into your wall shows that you're a very clever person.
Yeah, Henry VIII was certainly very interested. He had a number of scientific instruments in his privy closet, which
So then it probably makes sense to have that sort of Hampton Court connection, really.
Yeah. It's I mean, we're not just talking a small amount. I mean, this is a sizable room and you've got a complete set of panelling. It's really beautiful.
It's my favourite room, actually. I really, really love this room.
I can see why. You've got a rather magnificent blend of the new with the very old. It really works.
Yes. I mean, we've really, because obviously the house is trying to function in not just sort of doing coach tours and house tours, but we do weddings in here as well. And obviously it is our family home. So I love antiques, particularly furniture, but I also quite like the idea of adding something that's more recent to it. And that's really how that industry will probably continue anyway.
Yeah.
Interior-led, I suspect.
Yeah.
That's what we've tried to do here. Recent times, it's had a more sinister kind of history, the house. I don't know whether you know anything about that even.
No, but you must tell me.
So the lady that lived in here in the 1920s was called Mrs. Thurston or Sherston, and she was a Nazi.
Ah, okay.
So we've had some very high level Nazis here.
Stay here?
Yes.
Do we know who?
Oswald Mosley had stayed in my bedroom that I've been staying in multiple times. It was thought that, I think, after St John's College in Cambridge, that this would have been one of the headquarters for the Nazis had they have made it.
In England.
Which actually gives me the chills just even thinking about it.
It does actually, doesn't it? Wow. Gosh, another...
All the maids were told not to go into that bedroom with him on their own. So it gives you an idea of what kind of character potentially he was.
Yeah.
Quite sinister. Yeah, she was incarcerated from it. And that was really the point where... I think her son was a Nazi as well. And then the whole estate ended up being left to a grandson who was too young to really have an estate like this on his hands. And so it was all broken up and sold.
Oh, I see.
How sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Mm. But it happens.
It's all part of the rich history of somewhere like this, though, the layers and layers of history.
Yeah. And then tenanted farmers were in here for about 100 years or so. The nursing home for... Toffs, I suspect.
It's done everything,
it
hasn't
has.
It?
It has. We've had servants jumping out of windows. I mean, that's a common theme. Who knows whether that's got anything to it, but that's apparently the ghost.
Is it?
Yeah, and not actually that long ago.
Even. The ghost, now.
The ghost.
You were telling me again before we started recording about your experiences. So you bought this place, you were like, oh, this is amazing, this is my dream house, and you moved in, and then
it was
what?
Quite a thing to move into a house like this. We had a very nice house before, but we moved the second week of lockdown, and the barn, which is now our bistro cafe, was filled to the brim of our belongings. because we couldn't move it into the house because there was still furniture in here. So it was almost like moving into a museum. So I don't know whether that was very... whether it was the kind of idea of moving into this sort of National Trust property or something very similar that suggested it. But I can assure you that the first couple of months in here were a little bit odd. Things were kind of a bit uncomfortable, almost like, you know, you have eyes on you. And my ex-husband, you know, he was kind of doing his teeth in the bathroom and had a lady ask him what he was doing. And he thought it was me, but I was 200 yards away in the kitchen. So,
yikes.
Yikes. And as soon as he realised it wasn't me, he doesn't believe in this stuff at all. So I can absolutely tell you that. He's very mathematical and scientific in the way that he thinks about things. But he went completely stone cold.
Did he?
And then very joyfully told me, so I couldn't go to the loo all night because I was terrified to go to the bathroom. So... So there we go.
And you were telling me about your little girl as well.
Yeah, so Madeline is very pretty and fairy-like and blonde-haired. And, yeah, she really did get quite a lot of attention when we arrived. Maddie, for a while, did feel very spooked out that she was being watched. And even sort of 3 years on, she does struggle with actually going into the bathroom on her own.
Really? Mm. Crikey.
Yeah.
So... the ghost,
yeah.
You think it's just one ghost here?
There's probably layers of them. The tour guides would probably give you a better idea, but in the past, I think about 30 or 40 years ago, an estate agent was particularly in this room, sitting at the table doing some notes. The house was going from being tenanted into ownership. He was here on his own, and a lady literally walked right past him into there. He was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? He followed her because he wondered whether somebody was kind of hanging around and he was just about to leave and he wanted to lock up. But he walked straight after her, literally moments, and she'd completely gone. So fascinating.
And this is a servant, you said, who...
Yes, yes.
What's the story?
Well, the story is, and this is very similar to most stately homes in the UK, so you take it or leave it, guys. But there was a servant here that got into trouble when she was pregnant, and she was obviously very unhappy that it was out of wedlock, and she decided to jump from the oak room's window upstairs to her death in the moat. It's not a terribly deep moat, so it must have been the fall that did it, I suspect.
Right.
But this is more in recent times, so we are slightly sympathetic towards saying too much about her because it was in the 1950s.
Right, OK,
and
yeah.
And in Otley, there's still lots of family members around, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Right. OK. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that's very sad, but...
Yeah. It happened a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shall we go upstairs?
Yeah, let's go and have a little look up
okay,
there.
Okay, do you want to
lead
the way?
Yeah, I'll lead the way.
So we're leaving the side of the... I suppose originally that room we've been in is like a what would be called a privy chamber and a dining chamber at the head of the
that's right.
The great hall. And then are we in like what would have been the private section at the moment of
the
house?
Yeah, that's right. So this would have been the private sort of zone, particularly on the first level. These are more sort of state bedrooms.
Yes.
And then you go up another level and there's lots and lots of tiny little rooms. But I suspect most of Otley probably would have served the Gosnolds anyway.
Mm.
It's not very modern in way of thinking, but and they don't now.
No.
But that's probably what Otley was all about at that point. It very much served this estate and probably Helmingham Hall as well.
Right, okay. So where do you want, what do you want to show us?
So we're going to go up to, we're going to look at the peepholes. So we were talking a little bit about the Gosnolds during the Civil War, and this is kind of after the journey to America, and they were still rich and very much in favour here with the king.
So at the moment we're standing on the staircase. Was this always the principal staircase for the
this
house?
This is a Jacobean staircase. So, yes, I mean, there probably was an older staircase at some point. And clearly when I was talking about the sort of front and the back of the house and how it's now reversed, what was a spiral staircase was probably one of the original ones.
Right.
So yeah. This is probably sort of 1600s, I would have thought, this one in particularly.
Right. And part way up, right high up on one of the walls on the staircase, are two little holes that you pointed out to me earlier.
Yeah.
And they're quite significant to the history of the house. Can you tell us about them?
Yeah. So during the Civil War, and this was really the last Gosnold that lived in the hall, he was a royalist. Very unusual for around here, particularly in East Anglia, because everyone was a roundhead around here. So you'd be pretty shaky in your foundations, I suspect. So the oak room, which is where those little peepholes are, was his bedroom. And I suspect that he was very much in fear of being carted away at any moment. And really having peepholes that look down onto a staircase probably suggest that maybe he was worried that people would be storming his castle at any time soon. And that is effectively why those were put into the wall.
I don't suppose he would have had much time to do much about it, but at least he would be...
History says that there might actually be some sort of secret escape going down towards the moat.
Ah.
Not that it's been found, but it would make sense that there probably was.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe we could go up and see the other side of those.
Yeah, let's go and have
holes.
A look.
Oops. She says, staggering up the staircase, which is a beautifully uneven staircase.
Oh, even worse upstairs. You don't want whiskey when you go up there.
So we've come into probably people can hear by the change of the sound. It's a smaller room. It's a bedroom. It's more intimate. It's covered with this, again, lovely wooden panelling with some glorious wall painting over a sort of a Tudor-esque.
So that's actually fake.
Is it?
Yeah. So in the 70s, there was a production done in the house, and the owners at that point, I'm guessing this is probably before the Grade 1 listing, allowed a set designer to paint that.
How interesting.
But it's beautiful, though, and I actually really quite like it. So
it is. What was the production?
I have no idea.
Wow.
I don't know.
A glorious 70s production.
Yeah, I suspect so, yeah.
But I can see here these two holes that they're obviously in one side of the wall here.
Yeah,
and you can get a very good view of who's coming up the staircase there.
Really can, actually, yeah. So he was fined for being a royalist. And had half of his moat taken away, which is it's a bit childish, isn't it? But actually, in those days, that was a real status, is how big your moat is. It's almost like how big is your SUV these days.
Quite,
So, and there was a massive fine. We have a document that basically says that, this is a binding document. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it's almost like a jigsaw document that joins together.
Yes.
And I'll have to give you some, you'll have to have a quick look at those as well.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah, you've still got them here.
Still got it here, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yes, and then the fine was so huge that the Gosnells just couldn't keep the property any longer. And that was pretty much the end of them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so
and they dispersed everywhere at that point.
And they'd been here in residence for how long up to that point then?
I'd say a good 200 years,
yeah.
Which is that's a bit of an institution, isn't it?
Yeah, it would have been hard to say goodbye, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
obviously not particularly political though, and they stood by what they thought, which is, that's a...
Brave.
Yeah, definitely brave and courageous, actually.
Yeah.
To stand by what you think is a really big deal when everyone else is telling you not to.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Especially in those days.
You wouldn't know what would happen to you. Now, you've pointed out that that's wall painting is fake, but you do have some originals, don't you?
We do. Yes, we do.
Let's show you those
in the painted room.
The painted room. Now, there's a clue.
Yes, a painted room. I love the ceiling in here in particular. It's very kind of Jacobean. But yes, in here we have paintings on wood, but also on gesso as well on the walls. So they're very allegorical again, lots of symbolism about the Gosnells' marriages. This is one particular marriage, and if you get quite close to them on top of these columns, you can see their faces, if you can see them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you've got, basically, we're stood in front of the open fireplace, and above it you have those Jacobean wall paintings. You've got clearly got two different coats of arms.
That's right, yeah.
Which I guess represent the coats of arms of the bride and the groom and
That's
the coming
right.
together of the two families.
That's
and then,
it.
As you say, you have these pillars with the... very stylized.
Beautiful, aren't they?
Stylized.
Corinthian style and
yeah,
very Masonic as well. But the even these kind of making look like they're marble.
Yes.
Can you see?
Yes, absolutely. Very but beautiful.
Very beautiful. And obviously the colour, you know, it has clearly demised, but, you know, it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been so vibrant,
very vibrant,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely reds. You can see the reds particularly would have popped, I'm sure.
Yeah,
against
the red
the gold.
Seems to survive more than the greens and the blues, really, at
yeah.
that period. But yeah. But the whole room, this really would have been a sort of showing off exhibition room, banqueting room, that is above what would have been a Shakespearean playhouse.
You see, I find that fascinating, that I didn't really realise that that kind of playhouse would have existed in a private home.
Well, from what I know, and I'm on hearsay here, but during certain periods when there was plague or disease in the cities, they would take Shakespeare all over the country or, you know, and really play to outside audiences. And so this would all be open air underneath us, and they would have done cockfighting and all sorts of things down there.
I see, right.
But The Tempest was supposedly written by the Earl of Oxford for Bartholomew Gosnold's trip.
Ah, so this is a great controversy about...
It's a very big controversy, and many previous owners have gone down that rabbit hole, and I won't. I'm just giving you the hearsay.
That's the hearsay, that's the myth, that's the legend.
Yes.
Believe it or not,
yes.
as you will. But again, it's another really interesting strand to the rich tapestry of this house.
Yeah, really. I mean, it has got a very rich history. And, you know, in recent times as well. So,
yeah,
I'm probably less colourful, I suspect, than some of these characters, but maybe I am.
You're just going to have to try harder.
That's why I'm wearing yellow.
Please see me. So you mentioned a document that we should have
a
look at. Maybe we could go and have a little look at this.
Let's go and do that. I'm hoping it's still in here. There it is. But that's the document.
Oh, right.
Can you see?
Yes, I can see it.
So it's 1666.
Oh, God, my knees are going to crack,
so
everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, God, sorry.
So that was... So there would have been another document that joined this.
So we've got a 1666 document. It's got its seal. And then you've got this wavy edge at the top, which, again, I'll post a picture of this, if we may. And so the two would have come together. And explain again, what's the purpose of the...
It's a legal document. So they know that those two parts sit together.
And where would be the other part? Where did
Who knows? I suspect it might be in the British Library or somewhere like it.
What's the purpose of it?
I think this is the document to say that the Gosnolds had to sell Otley Hall.
I see.
All this is more to do with the fine. I've never sat here and actually magnified each letter.
It would take you a while, but it is, of course, by that stage.
You can make out some words, but it's still quite tricky.
Yes, you have to get your eye in, don't you, with those F's are actually S's.
That's
and,
right.
And
it takes some time to kind of go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it amazing. Who signed it? Oh, that's Gosnold.
Yeah.
R. Gosnold.
Yeah.
So he signed it. And put his seal on the bottom of it. How fascinating. Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's a job for you, Lisa. If you get a spot,
so that's my summer holiday.
A spare month.
That's never going to happen, Sarah. I don't seem to have any time anymore.
I can totally empathise with your situation. Oh, I tell you what we missed.
It's in the etchings,
isn't it? Yes,
the
etchings.
Diamond etchings.
You pointed out here, we're looking at a beautiful window in the oak bedroom, you said?
Yes, this is the oak room. Yeah.
And we've got some inscription on the glass. What is it? Because it's amazing, isn't it?
So in lots of these rooms, you know, particularly now, you can see in different lights, things will catch your eye. And it happens all the time here for all of us. Sometimes you'll notice something that you've never seen before. But this is diamond etching, and it's all sort of authentic graffiti from effectively the 18th century. And this really is sort of almost pre-French Revolution, which I just think is just the most beautiful thing to even get in your mind, that you have something on your window that kind of has marked that date. It's great.
It's incredible. I just love the fact that somebody took their diamond ring and sort of just...
Yeah.
And it's really beautifully done as well.
Oh, the script is just stunning, yeah.
We've got June the 16th, 1779. So a little out with the Tudor period.
But yeah.
Still, anybody who's interested in history, thinking that somebody stood here with their diamond ring and carved so elegantly into the glass is quite amazing.
Brilliant. It is quite a thing.
So what's next for Otley Hall then, Louisa? You've been working hard, haven't you, as you explained at the beginning?
Yeah, very much trying to sort of make Otley financially sufficient in its own right, which is hasn't been a particularly easy task, but I love a challenge, so there we go. and so does Steve. We both like a challenge. So really, we've had a several-pronged approach of really trying to make Otley Hall work, to make it accessible for Joe blogs, and to really make the history come alive for people. The house is in a relatively good state, but decoratively, as a family home, it needs stuff doing. As with all houses like this, it costs an absolute fortune to run.
I bet it does. So, I hardly dare ask.
Yeah, basically the whole life here is wearing very woolly socks and very woolly jumpers most of the time, really, because the oil is extortionate. But that's part of the joy of it, really.
Yeah.
And the smell of, you know, the fires going downstairs is really beautiful.
That must be gorgeous.
But we want to try and really make this a really good, profitable business. We started with the Bistro Cafe. And clearly, I'm very much into the arts and history. So I've wanted to really sort of open up the grounds and do sort of open air theatre. We've got Shakespeare happening this summer, Midsummer Night's Dream. But also not just for sort of people that can afford it. You know, I really want to make this something that everybody can touch, because it's such an important thing to open young children's minds. And that's what I'd like to do.
Bravo, bravo. So anybody can come to the cafe, can't they?
Yep, so we're open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 until 4. We're open on Thursday evening as well for dinner. And we have, you know, we have weddings going on here quite often as well. But there are exciting events that generally go on all throughout the summer and in the winter as well. You can even meet Father Christmas in the Great Hall if you'd really like. And I do tend to wear my imp outfit at that point, if anyone would like to see. I have to have a glass of wine afterwards, so.
Imagine.
So there are things, and basically it will just keep thriving, hopefully, so that, you know, Steve can keep, you know, throwing money at it to make it, you know, bring it back to its former glory.
Oh, it's fantastic thought. So what we'll do is we'll put the link to your website.
That would be great.
In the description.
Yeah.
So I guess all the events
most
that you've talked about.
Information is on there.
It's all going to be
We're
there.
Very Insta-orientated. I love photography. There's photography all over the place. So if you really want to get a sense of what Otley Hall is really about, that's the place to go.
Yeah, brilliant. That's brilliant. And how do you actually get in to see the house? What's
the possibilities? So we have house tours. There are coach tours that do sort of organise tours directly with us, but we can do private tours as well if people are interested, particularly for folks that are coming from the US. You know, we don't often open all the time. It's usually a couple of dates a month. But if you are coming over and you are very, very keen to see this really important building, then we would love to meet you and see you. We love hearing about the history and who you're potentially related to.
Exactly. There could be some Gosnells.
You could be
there.
A Danny Dyer.
Yeah, yes. And for those people who don't know, and I'm sure a lot of people do, Danny Dyer is an EastEnder actor, so a soap actor here in the UK, who found out that he was a direct descendant of William the Conqueror, which was fairly amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and somehow... fed into the Gosnolds and everyone else.
Literally everyone else. I think if you find out you're related to, I think it's Edward III, you can pretty much know that you're going to be related to pretty much all the nobility and aristocracy across England.
that's quite right.
That's the key. Okay, well, that's just been so much fun to meet you. I'm so glad we've been talking on Instagram for a while. Thank you so much for hosting
us. It's a year in the making, Sarah.
Something like that. Good things are always worth waiting for. But I do appreciate you hosting us here today and taking time out of your busy schedule to show us around.
Not a problem at all.
Well, my friends, that's all for today's podcast. A big thank you to Louisa for being our guide at Otley Hall. And I hope you'll have a chance to put that on your Tudor travel itinerary if you are heading in the direction, of course, of lovely, lovely Suffolk. It's one of my favourite counties to explore for its Tudor history. Don't forget, in the meantime, that as a member, you have access to our community board where we can chat and exchange ideas or ask questions about any aspect of Tudor history, particularly Tudor places, or any travel plans that you may have. If you have questions that you want answered about where to go and what to see and how best to get there, then make sure you pop into the community and ask your question. I visit on a regular basis, and of course there are other Tudor travellers there in the community, other members of TUG who are also there to help you. Well, keep your eyes open for, of course, new content that will be coming your way in September. And I, of course, look forward to seeing you again at the next podcast, when this time, as I say, we'll be visiting Hardwick Hall up north in lovely Derbyshire. Until next time, my friends. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Tudor History and Travel Show. If you've loved the show, please take a moment to subscribe, like and rate this podcast so that we can spread the Tudor love. Until next time, my friends, all that remains for me to say is happy time travelling!